Good afternoon. It is 5:11 on November 30th, Saturday. House is all quiet. My cat, Maddie, is hanging out and she's sound asleep, so we might get through a whole podcast without having to hear any noise whatsoever, except for the noise that obviously I can give most of you. It would appear as though the New York City, and I'm from New York, had a rainout parade. It sucked completely. It's not the parade I grew up with, or many of you didn't grow up with. It rained on their parade in Washington for Joe and Kamala, and all those fuckers can now just get the fuck out. Yes, this is an explicit conversation. I don't give a fuck what any of you think. You listen to me, I appreciate it. You don't listen to me, I don't give a fuck. So you can turn it off now, or you can keep listening because you're going to learn something. You're going to learn about life. I'm my early 60s. I've lived enough to understand that our friends, our family, etc., we all kind of get fucked once in a while. If we're not sitting on millions or billions of dollars, we're all on our own, aren't we, right? So today I'm going to dedicate to a buddy of mine who died night before Thanksgiving on 28th. He died at 8:39 in the evening, died in hospice care. They treated him real well. Watch him take his last breaths, say goodbye, and that was after years of taking care of him. Let me tell you what happened, because we need to know what our problem is in this country, and today I'm going to focus solely on veterans. I mean, I may go off the trail a little bit left and right and have a swearing fit or two, but we really need to know and understand what's happening in this country to veterans. The Mission Act that Trump signed in is great. I think that's a thing that's being used without a problem. The idea of the PACT Act coming on board and Biden signing in a million people, well, that needed to have a little more finessing done to it, because now our waiting rooms and quality of care at the VA is suffering because they just don't have enough people to service everybody. And, well, forget about just getting care at all. What about getting benefits, getting the benefits you earned? The veterans getting what they deserve. I mean, think about it. How many millions came into this country in the last 4 years, and we got veterans sleeping on corners in back of trash bins at the 7-Eleven? You fucking tell me what that's all about. You tell me when a veteran, somebody who went to war or served to serve you and us, ended up being cast aside like garbage, like shit. That's what they are at times, I'm sorry, to this country a bit. Never in history have we ever seen people being treated this way, the way they are treated, the way they are maligned, the way they are basically, they put their hand out and people just treat them like crap, like, you know, fuck off, you know. You know, my buddy who just died, I'm going to use a really good example here. I'm going to give everybody a lesson tonight. During the Vietnam War, he was on a ship called the USS Bennington. Bennington should have been called the fucking USS Asbestos, because the fucking thing was a floating asbestos factory. There were many, many men who lost their lives after Vietnam due to that ship, because it was shit. It was a shit ship. It was garbage at sea. It poisoned people left and right. My buddy, well, what he did, and he died, he's 80 plus. He got on the ship, and he started out painting the rooms, the staterooms, the cabins quarters, you know, the quarters where everybody sleeps. So for those of you who weren't in the Navy, you know, everything's in gray, battleship gray, right? And they use this an asbestos formula that they would go into these rooms, spray the walls down so that the asbestos would eat through this paint. The paint would come down, pouring off the walls. They'd clean it all out and then repaint the room in gray again. They knew it was such a horrendous product to use in these staterooms that the guys could only be in there for 20 minutes at a time, and they had to shut the ventilation down on that side of the ship in that area, because they couldn't have this shit floating around in the air and killing everybody, which eventually does anyway, let's face it, right? We're just putting off what's going to happen today till tomorrow, or whatever the fuck it is that they do. How the VA figures, or how the Armed Services figure this shit out, I don't know. So in any event, So that's what my buddy did. He would go in, and he did that for quite a few months. Then they decided, well, you know, you're pretty good at this paint spraying thing. It's time you move up the ladder. So the ladder for him was going out on the deck and being a sprayer. So he went from spraying rooms with asbestos and then spraying the paint on the walls to spraying down the planes as they're coming back. These are the very same planes, folks, that flew Agent Orange over Vietnam to kill the vegetation, hopefully, possibly, you know, kill the food source, be able to see where everybody's hiding in the holes in the ground, whatever the case may be. And then those same planes were flying, or the fighters were flying behind the sprayers. And so these planes were all getting covered in Agent Orange. What happened? And by the way, millions of barrels went over there. We all know that. I didn't know we could produce that much shit in that period of time. So these planes would come back, land, and my buddy was the guy out there spraying down the planes. So all of this mist, all of this fucking after product of death, this toxin, this fucking toxic, it's just toxic waste, would then be sprayed on the deck, and it would go into vents and voids. Guess what? My buddy then ended up cleaning out the vents and voids. So he spent a while, many, many months, just being exposed to anything and everything you'll possibly think of where Agent Orange is concerned. And that's what everybody's beef is about Agent Orange. You know, you touch your finger to it. You know, how many people, nobody knows about fucking how this affects people, but let's talk about it. Let's just say maybe your DNA carries it eventually. It goes into your body, okay? Is that why people were getting cancer left and right, keep getting cancer, whatever the case may be? I mean, it really, truly is astounding to think that we could be poisoning our own people. So they're at war in Vietnam, but yet being at war really meant being at war on USS Asbestos. That's what you were fighting against. So, gets himself graduated, becomes quartermaster. Excellent at his job. Ends up steering the USS Asbestos for a few more years. Gets off. Lives his life. But does he? All sorts of problems start. They said, oh, you got COPD. We think that was from smoking cigarettes. How many fucking guys didn't smoke in Vietnam? How many? Everybody smoked. So that was the new excuse. It's COPD that made you sick, not asbestos. That couldn't be. Oh, God, no. How could that fuck up? No. It had to be those Pall Malls you were smoking. No, that wasn't it either. Has to be in your genes, genetics. Okay, so now we're going to go down that road. So after 15 years, the last 15 years of constantly putting in the claim, constantly fighting with the appeals, with the judges, and on and on and on, what do we learn? We learn that you got fucking nothing except the so-called 100% health care, which, with the PACT Act in place, well, that kind of reduces your chances of getting really good health care. And it has nothing to do with waiting. Veterans are used to sitting in a waiting room waiting. We are probably the most patient fucking people in the world, because we're respectful of each other. We're respectful of the people that treat us in the VA. We don't want to offend anybody at the VA. We want the doctors to like us. We want to like them. We want the nurses to love us. We want care to be given, you know, as you would treat your own family member. And you get that. But the problem is, if you got too many people, you can't get an appointment. All of a sudden, an appointment that, oh, you can get 2 weeks from now, you can't get until 2 months from now. So the VA right now, where that's concerned, is fucking broken. No two ways about it. It's fucking broken. There's just no way to do it. So anyway, here's what happens. We fight. Medical, he gets all sorts of fucking claims put in. Trying our best. In the end, the last very letter they send him a couple months ago is, hey, pal, yeah, we recognize that you were on the USS Asbestos, but you had to have been, for the PACT Act to apply, you would have had to have been within 3 miles of the Vietnam coast. Not five, Your ship was 5. And of course, my buddy knew how far out they were. And he said, they weren't always out 5 because he was the one fucking steering the ship. And he knew he was something they were 2.5 miles in. Briefly, but they were still 2.5 miles in. So we put conditions on how people get recognized for dying. And what we do, or what has happened to the guys from the Vietnam era, is it's almost as though the VA is waiting for them to die because there's nothing to pay out. There's no one more to take care of. It's the worst possible fucking thing that could have ever happened, is sitting back and waiting these people out by just fucking taking months to answer a letter, an email, giving them something. Honestly, you can go give a fucking illegal immigrant coming over this border everything and anything. In fact, guess what? You can give them the lives of people in this country. They can go out and fucking kill anybody they want. And they'll sit in court with a smirk on their face or no expression at all, as though they've done, oh yeah, okay, I might have done that, but guess what? You're going to take care of me forever anyway. And then you'll send me back to Venezuela, Guatemala, Honduras, one of those fucking halfway countries. I'll say it's third world fucking bullshit. These people need to stay where they are because that's where they have always belonged. Oh no, don't you start with me, Maddie. So anyway, stop. Why? Why do we have to do this every podcast? Why? You're a cat. Go be a cat for a minute. So getting back to this. They reject him. And then, of course, well, magical COPD turns into death-defying bladder cancer, which the VA missed. I don't know how many appointments. I guess you got to bleed a gallon of blood out of your penis into a bottle in order to get some attention. And even then they'll say, oh, maybe that's a urinary tract infection in a guy. And you keep saying to them, that's impossible. That can't be. That's too much blood. That's just pure blood. It's not even, oh no, you don't understand. The way it works is that if you've got bladder infection, you know, it looks bloody, but it's not really bloody. Well, red is red to me. Dark amber, fucking ruby red is red to me. And I'm not a fucking doctor. I said to the guy, is it possible he might have some type of bladder cancer? No, fuck, no, that can't be. That can't be. Now, you know, not for nothing. I went on to Google. I hate to play Dr. Google. Went on there, put the symptoms in. 2 seconds, pops up, bladder cancer. That's what it more than likely is. Sure enough, the guy says to me, the doctor, ER guy, goes, well, you know, it's a UTI. Now, this is the third time he's in there. We're going to give him some more antibiotics, send him on back, and we'll see how he goes in a week. And I said, we already did that 2 times. Well, you know, we'll do it one more time. No. We're not fucking going anywhere. You fucking do something. Figure it the fuck out. You got all this fucking technology. You got CAT scan machines. You got MRIs. You got the latest in all this fucking technology. Fuck, AI is taking over fucking hospitals. And you're going to tell me you're going to send him back and say it's a UTI for a third time. Really? Well, what do you want us to do? Well, I don't know. How about a fucking test of some kind? What kind of test could we do? I know. How about an MRI or a CAT scan? Oh, you want us to do a CAT scan? Yeah, fucking do a CAT scan. All right, so we're going to do a CAT scan, and I'm going to tell you right now, we're going to find out it's a UTI. I said, we're not guessing anymore. Go do a fucking CAT scan. They go do a CAT scan. 2 hours later, the little guy comes back in, and the bucket of blood is still on the counter that my buddy pissed into. And he looks at me, and he goes, you know, there's 3 kinds of blood that come out of people when they have an infection or something more serious. And I said, you know, get to the fucking chase here, buddy. What the fuck is it? Tell me. It's bladder cancer, right? He goes, well, you know, I don't know how to tell you this. I said, well, obviously you don't, because you're fucking stupid, or yet you shouldn't be in this business. And I'm sorry, medicine is a fucking business. It's now called treat 'em and street 'em. That means get them in and get them the fuck out. Whack the insurance company, Medicare, Medicaid, VA. Take your fucking choice. He goes, oh, yeah, we found a tumor. Really? Oh, you found a tumor, did you? And how big was this fucking tumor? Oh, size of a goose egg. So you're telling me we got a guy here who's 80 years old with a fucking tumor the size of a goose egg in his fucking bladder, and he's pissing blood like, I don't know, there's no tomorrow, and there obviously won't be. And now what do you want to do? And he looks at me and he goes, well, what do you two want to do? And I said, are you fucking kidding me, dude? Well, you know, I can call security. I fucking call security. Go call your fucking mother. Your motherfucking, what a motherless cunt, gutless fucking motherless cunt this guy was as a physician, and his nerve to call himself a physician. And not for nothing, I'm going to tell you right now, this hospital is filled with nothing but Indians from fucking Bombay. For some fucking reason, we got a hospital in America filled with physicians from Bombay and Mumbai, whatever the fuck. And the guy is like, well, you know, this is what we're used to seeing in our country. Well, this is fucking America. This is the United States of America. This is not fucking Bombay or any of that other bullshit place. Why you're here, I don't know. How you got in, I'll always wonder. What your education is, I can just fucking imagine. But the fucking guy says, what do you want me to do? Well, get the fucking tumor out of him. Well, that's easier said than done. And I'm like, really? Well, okay. So how do you think it should be done? How is it done? Well, we need to get the urology partner some comment. And, you know, he's bobbling his fucking head back and forth and giving me all these fucking excuses. Get a fucking urologist, for fuck's sake, already. Oh, that'll be another 2 hours. Okay, so fucking 2 hours. I'll wait 2 more. Well, we waited all this time. 2 hours. Well, actually, an hour and 52 minutes later, another Indian walks in. This one, don't know where the fuck he's from, but they're all named Patel, by the way. And he goes, oh, yeah, here's what we can do. We're going to do a thing called a turbit. And that sounds as bad as the word is, turbit. They're going to go up into the guy's penis, and they're going to scrape out as much of the tumor as they possibly can, and then they're going to put a catheter, shove a catheter up him, and then they're going to flush him out for 2 to 3 weeks until he hopefully stops bleeding. Okay. So that's the plan. So they check him in. No apology, by the way, from the little guy, the little Indian guy who just fucking, another Patel, just walks away, doesn't want to even bother with this shit. The fucking guy just disappears. We check our buddy in. Now we've got 3 weeks of absolute hell. Not only can we not understand what these fucking people are saying half the time, but he has had a device put up his dick, scraping out a fucking tumor. And the guy, after the urologist, the surgeon comes out and goes, oh, your friend, he did well in surgery. Okay, did you get, how did we do? Well, you know, we couldn't get it all out, but I can tell you this, he has the most severe case of cancer I've ever seen. I'm like, what the fuck are you saying? Oh, the cancer metastasized. Now I sound like a fucking Chinaman. Yeah, so it's spread all over his body. And I said, well, let's do a scan of his body. Where did it go? He says, oh, no. If we do PET scan on this guy, he'll light up like a Christmas tree. Oh, that's just great news. Thank you very much. Thank you. Shut up, Madison. Let's not do this, please. This is serious stuff. And they go in and ask him what he wants to do. And I'm like, well, what do you mean what he wants to do? What is he supposed to do? Let's get some care going here. Now, in the meantime, so we know, the fucking hospital is billing the VA because this was an emergency. So under the Mission Act, they get to go whack the VA. And I think they billed the VA out something like $250,000, maybe $250,000 to $300,000 for all of these half-ass services they offered. Of course, they don't get that much because, you know, they have to go by the Medicare rates. Ah, too bad. Well, they have him suffering for 3 weeks, and they go in and they talk to him when no one's there, and they ask him, well, they can offer him hospice. We can offer you hospice. So, here's a guy who's lived 80 years, steered a fucking ship through war, accomplished so much shit in his life, and now his options are, well, just hospice. which of course he doesn't want to go through another turbit, which is going up in his penis again and pulling out more tumor every time it grows back. And because his cancer is so far gone, he's gone. So he agrees to go into hospice. And that's what we do. So now, months and months later of suffering and being on every drug from oxycodone, Dilaudid, oh, for fuck's sake, morphine, fucking fentanyl. Jesus, mother of God, unbelievable what the guy went through. And then his last 6 days on earth were spent in the most horrific pain that any of you can ever imagine. If you had a family member, mom, dad, whatever, brother, sister, God forbid, that died of cancer or suffered through some of the worst cancers on this fucking planet, this was like, you know, I just wanted to sit there in his room, put a gun to my head and force them to do something to put him out of his misery. That's how bad this was. And then, of course, the heavy breathing ends up on the last day, and you're sitting there for hours, and you're just watching this person who's been part of your life for 20 years, you've known as a best friend, a mentor, a peer, and you watch him just disintegrate before your eyes. And you know what? There's nobody there but you, a couple of guys, best friends, because in the end, family wanted nothing to do with him because he was gay. Go figure that out. So here's a gay man who had lost his partner 2 years before to some of the same miserable cancer. And conservative Republican as well. Gee, try and wrap that around your head. You know, at times, if we don't start thinking about our vets in a whole different way and streamline the fucking system, we're just sitting back letting them die. And there's nothing that anybody can do about it. You have all this technology. You have all of this fucking money. You have billions of dollars to spend. I mean, this Doge thing, D-O-G-E, with Musk and Ramaswamy, another guy from, I guess, India. Why not? What the fuck? Right? Jesus. Oh, Lord. Oh, sorry, Vivek, but, dude, I'm sorry. Your fucking country's in trouble. And they gotta stop this communist fucking relationship with fucking China. It's just fucking unbelievable. And maybe that's what the problem is, because they believe more in socialized medicine. Socialized medicine just fucking kills you. That's why the Canadians come down from Canada to use us for medical care because their lines are getting longer, but now our lines are getting longer. It's just the way it all works out. So what do we do? I guess what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to eventually decide when enough is enough. I hope Trump realizes enough is enough. I think he does. I only have one disagreement right now in my head with one of his choices that he's made in his administration. And the only reason I have a problem with it is I don't think it's going to end well. And that would be Jared Kushner's father. Jared Kushner's father was in fucking prison, for fuck's sake. And now he's going to be the ambassador to France. For fuck's sake. Really? We're going to go there? I mean, you want to make him a quasi-advisor, that's fine. But, you know, but then again, maybe Macron deserves some type of bullshit like this. You know what? No, he's like a secret weapon probably, right? He's going to get over there like the Bourne legacy and do his fucking thing or whatever, give some action. Now, I don't know, maybe he can help the Muslim community understand that you don't have to shut down the Paris streets and listen to fucking... Oh, God, Paris, thank God I went years ago because they've ruined the country. The Muslims went in and ruined the fucking country. Oh, don't talk about the Muslims badly, but let's really face it. You go over there and what do you hear? You hear afternoon fucking prayers. You hear horns going off everywhere. There's parts of town you can't even go through. You can't drive through it because they're fucking praying in the fucking streets on magic carpets. I mean, it's like going to the movie Aladdin and watching 1,000 guys on a carpet. What the fuck? Now, look. You want to be a Muslim, be a Muslim. I don't really give a fuck as long as you don't want to fly planes because we all know where that got us because we're too trusting a nation and we trust too many fucking people and those people end up fucking with us. And then what do? Then we get mad and we go and we get even. But But sometimes we just don't get even quite enough, do we now, right? So, okay, you know what? I'm going to go back and say, Kushner, okay, do a good job. Get over there to France. Fuck with their heads. Get Macron. He's, you know, listen, by the way, Trudeau, he's a man-child, this fucking guy from Canada. This fucking prime minister from Canada made fun of Trump during his first term. They all made fun of him. Macron, all of them made fun of him, not behind his back, but almost to his face. They talked about him in the press. On hot mics, they said horrible things. This is the president of my fucking country. Now, Trudeau, you got fucking people rioting all over your fucking neck of the woods. And what are you doing? You're out there doing stupid dances at, Taylor Swift's concert. Yeah, by the way, she helped get Kamala. she helped her get elected real fucking fast, didn't she, huh? In fact, you know, all these fucking celebrities now, you notice this, folks? Guess what? They've now shut the fuck up for once. You know why? Because they mean nothing to anyone. My voice going to you can be as strong and as powerful. I can be a celebrity 6 months from now. If somebody says, hey, you know that guy, Greg Exner, he's an asshole. Let's put him on TV. I like what he has to say. Everybody's now a celebrity. Everybody's now a YouTube star and an Instagram fuck up. And everybody wants to be famous. This is what happened. We buy microphones. It took me a fucking week to figure out how to hook a fucking microphone up to a fucking computer. You fucking tell me. But guess what? I'm talking to you. And guess what? I'm not advertising anything, but I'm getting all sorts of people listening to my rants. And that's all it fucking takes. You know, okay. See, that's my one impression, a good one. I got a couple good impressions, but okay. You know who that is, okay. Look, they fuck you through the drive-thru. That is, you know who, Joe Pesci. Hey, okay. This is what I'm talking about. All of us mean something to ourselves, our family, our friends, and to any of the fucking strangers out there that feel like listening, tuning into this crap and saying, yeah, you know, the guy's got something to say. It kind of makes sense. I may not want to have him at a fancy dinner party, but he's kind of funny. And he kind of fucking says nice things about people. And he supports the underdog. I am an underdog supporter. I really am. I don't give a flying fuck about money, about nice cars. I just don't, or a big beautiful mansion house. You're not taking it with you. My pal who died, guess what? He's getting in a pine box, in a shroud, going into the ground at the National Cemetery, and everything he's acquired in his life meant nothing. It all means nothing. Jesus, fuck. Baby boomers are waiting for us baby boomers to die, so well, the kids want to, they all want property, but they don't want to fucking go earn it or buy it. So they want mom and dad's house. They're all moving in. Oh, I'll be mom and dad's caregiver. Yeah, I bet you would. Is it a big enough house? Got enough cars in the driveway? I mean, a lot of kids today want the easy way out. They don't want to work for anything because they've been taught or they've been told or brought up as they're special. Let me give you a newsflash. You ain't fucking special. There is nothing fucking special about you. If anybody shows me their kids' pictures, I want to throw up in my mouth. I don't want to see kids. I don't have kids. Don't want kids. I got a cat. I got two cats, Dolly and Madison. Ha, how patriotic is that? And even Maddie, that one fucking cat, I swear to God, she's the bane of my existence. But I would rather have her than have fucking kids. I'd rather have her than have a fucking wife driving me fucking nuts all day long and say, did you put out the trash? Will you empty the dishwasher? Just do your fair share for a change. You know? Can't you just do something around the house to lighten my load? You know, I bring the kids to school every morning and I do what I... Yeah, fuck that. I mean, look, all you've got to do to understand why men don't longer want to be married, a lot of guys don't want to get fucking married, is watch a few episodes of The View. That's all. Just listen to that ranting and raving of these five women that just, if you can call them that, I'm beginning to wonder really what they are. They're not of this earth or planet. They think that they're fucking superheroes and people care about what they have to say. and networks, ABC, NBC, CBS, the things that we grew up with as kids that we respected and we loved, you know, all the different things. Guess what? Fucking no. And by the way, Walter Cronkite was a fucking drunk. I got to deal with him years ago. Let me tell you, that fucking guy and his mother could drink you under the table. These people, they are not what they seem, only when they're pretending in front of you to be what you want them to be. Other than that, they're not real. They're figments of our imagination. They're a bunch of fuckers that all just want to get a big-ass fucking paycheck. Who makes the most money? Who gets the most toys? And guess what? You know, and then we know sometimes it just doesn't end well. They either get run over by their own jet ski, or they fall off of their $100 million yacht into the ocean and disappear, or they're flying in a helicopter and kaboom, you know? I mean, do you really ever wonder why some of that shit actually does happen? I mean, I guess it is the universe saying, you know, go fuck yourself. You think you're who you are? I got news for you. So I'm going to upload this fucking thing now if I can figure out how to do it to the first podcast on the right, because I am on the right. I'm always right, even when I'm wrong. I'm always right even when I'm fucking wrong. Enjoy your Sunday at home after the holiday. All those people that were stupid enough, the millions, to get in planes and fly around this fucking country into the snow, the wind, the rain, to have a turkey dinner or whatever. Fuck, rethink that process next year. Hopefully you learn something for Thanksgiving travel that'll actually make you think about, should I do this out for Christmas, you know, 30 days later? The answer probably is fuck no, okay? And just be safe. Be safe, be yourselves, love your family. Remember, you come first, your family comes first, your friends, close second. Just be good people and take care of each other. Until next time, this is me saying, fucking off.